Now, some of Gloucestershire's historic sites could be at risk of neglect and decay. That is the warning. This is Tewkesbury Museum and the folk of Gloucester that are featuring on this new list, nationwide list that has been published. Tewkesbury Town Councillor Christine Danter joined us on the breakfast show this morning, talking about how they tried to raise money and aid the museum in the past, and basically hoping that going on to this list might actually push for a bit more help. But joining me now on the programme this afternoon is Martin White. He's the chairman of the Gloucester Civic Trust that run the folk of Gloucester. Martin, thank you ever so much for joining us. For a lot of people, as we were hearing there, that they would be worried that you're actually on this list. But can you see, as Christine talked about earlier, that actually this might turn out to be a positive?
We actually see it as a bit of a bonus. It's like a useful badge that, as a set of buildings that need protection, we're added to a list that will get some priority when it comes to applying for grants from people like Historic England and others. So it's we actually see it as quite a benefit. We're in some pretty strong company as well, if you look at the list, and we're hoping for big things from it. It'll really help us. It pushes us up the priority list for support.
Let's paint the picture for people who don't know the folk of Gloucester. Tell us a bit about the building and the kind of work that you guys have been doing.
Well, it's an absolutely spectacular set of buildings. It's one of the largest sets of Tudor buildings that the city has, and it's in remarkably good condition considering the age of it. A lot of it was built in 1503 and onwards. We took it over in, we've actually been there for about 3 years, but we took over ownership in August last year. And since then, we've spent about £300,000 on it, most of which we've had from grants from people like the Cathedral Quarter and Architectural Heritage Fund and landfill tax and so on. We've completely renovated the front of it. You may have seen it's beautiful colours now, and done some repairs to the timber frame. But also critically, we've created a level access into the building from Westgate Street through a passageway that we had into the back of the building. That's the first time in 500 years that anybody with any ability or disability has been able to get into it. So huge progress so far, but much, much more to do.
And it is one of those buildings which, as you said, from the outside looks amazing. Inside, you know, the beauty is within as well. But, you know, that needs a lot of looking after. So when it's been placed in an at-risk list, why is it at risk? Tell us what's going on at the moment. Where does money need to be spent?
The biggest problems we have are with the roof structures. If you can imagine, it's a 500-year-old structure which and timber frames move and bend and twist and so on. And over the centuries, it has moved. Various owners have tried to patch up the roof and make it secure. There's an ongoing programme at the moment where the council's helping us as part of the arrangement when we took ownership from them to do some temporary repairs. But the biggest issue we have is that we accept that in 3, 4, 5 years we're going to have to put a new roof on it. So that's the biggest issue that Historic England have identified. Mm. But there's also something else which was quite magical that we found purely by accident in one of the ground floor rooms. We found some 16th century paintings that we didn't know were there.
Wow.
They're in fairly bad condition and they need some work, but we've been able to get our first national lottery grant to help us investigate them, find out what they're all about, why they're there, and check the condition and hopefully start the process of getting them back into being conserved for the future. So that's really exciting. So yeah, that's part of the at-risk feature as well.
What are the pictures of, Martin?
They're quite unusual. They're sort of geometric designs, some roses, some faces. And strangely enough, only this week we've discovered that there is a house in Ledbury which has very similar paintings on its walls. And you'd almost imagine that there was a sort of travelling tradesman in 1510 wandering around the county with a paintbrush, offering to paint pictures on people's walls. So we're going to go to Ledbury and have a look at theirs and see how they compare.
So, when you, as you said, you know, it's gone under various different ownership and people looked after over the years. How have these been kind of left behind or lost or neglected? What happened here?
The room that these paintings are in is actually directly beneath a first floor room that has a couple of paintings that were similar that were found about 50 years ago. But the room that we're talking about, at some point in the last century, the walls were panelled, wood panelled. Oh, wow. Somebody just decided that it was modern to have them all covered up, so they completely covered them. And of course, behind the panels, on dampish walls, they haven't been as protected as they should have been. So our first task is to take the panels off and find what's there.
That first peek at that. When you know whoever first unveiled, pulled back that first panel to have a look behind. That must have been quite a moment.
We realised something must be going on, because if we sort of stand in the room and look at the, it's a timber frame room. It's an old Tudor room. And if you look at the beams in the room, you can just very faintly see some pictures that are etched on the beams. And we thought, well, nobody would paint pictures on beams if they didn't paint the pictures on the walls as well. So with the building work we've been having done, we decided to remove one of the panels, and hey-ho, there it was.
Amazing.
And it's obvious that once we start to get the rest of it apart, that we're going to find more. So part of the National Lottery grant is paying for a nationally known conservator to come down and have a look at them, investigate them. And she's also going to run some training courses while she's with us to train local artists in how to identify and recognise and conserve similar paintings in future.
How exciting, how exciting.
Really exciting for them.
You know, being placed on this, as you said, this list, then you think could be a boost to your hopes to try and raise the money. What's next for you is, I guess that roof's pretty important, because if you can't kind of weatherproof and sort out the roof and make sure that that's going to last for a number of years, then the building below it just, there's no point in being there, is there?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's our sort of main priority. We're going to get this temporary work done over the next 2 or 3 months. That should hold us for hopefully another 3 or 4 years while we work up the major plans, because these things take time to do. But as well as doing the roof, as I said, we've created this level access into the ground floor, but now it's time to think about how we're going to allow people to access the upper floors, because they're quite spectacular. So we'll be putting in a central lift. We've identified a location that we can put it that won't damage any of the structure. We have a building that's known as the Pin Factory Extension, which was built in about 1700. And that's a timber frame building that's brick clad on the outside. And it's starting to cause concern on the inside, if you follow me.
Right.
So a lot of the work will be some detailed survey of that, and then some structural work to get that back into order.
And all of this, I guess, you know, you're tiptoeing around that historical significance and not being able to do certain things and not wanting to do certain things that might damage the structure and the originality of a building that's 500 years of age. It must be a really delicate kind of process.
Absolutely. But we've been very fortunate. We've got some really strong support in the city. Some of the city council officers and others have been really supportive, including the local conservation officer, who's worked very closely with us. Any problems we have or identify, we can give her a call, and she will advise us fairly quickly as to what we can and what we can't do. And in fact, she very cleverly chose the colours of the front of the building. So we owe her a great debt of gratitude. But it's great to have cooperation with council and civic trust and other organisations in the city all working together.
Well, it's great that this jewel is in your hands now to look after, and the right people are kind of making sure that it's there for generations to come to be worshipped and adored, and to, you know, it's just a massive part of the history of the city, isn't it? So good luck with everything, and thank you ever so much for joining us on the programme, Martin. Lovely to talk to you.
My pleasure, and do come down and see us.
Thank you ever so much. Yeah, that's an open invitation, isn't it? Martin White, chairman of the Gloucester Civic Trust, that now has taken over the running of the folk of Gloucester. The folk of Gloucester and the Tewkesbury Museum then have been added to a list by Historic England of sites that could be at risk of neglect and decay, but not as long as the Civic Trust are doing their bit and fighting away. But it's all about getting that funding to make sure.